you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, le Premier ministre la propose presque $1 million à budget li lan de sa. Moi, si oui, on chaye moun en cette lici, kratile dat bagay kay vin me pou yo, at least yo kay jwen on ti kakada pour soulager la vie. Yo. Moi, je voulais examiner ces proposals la Premier ministre là, menant devant à la budget li, et puis garder manière qui a affecté Jean pays cette ici. Mr. Speaker, I wish to examine what was presented in this year's budget address to see how the different proposals would impact in the lives of our people. Those proposals should give our people hope and confidence that they will find relief for some of their economic woes and hardships. That the poor, the oppressed, and the depressed people will find solace in an improved quality of life. And that any benefits to be accrued would not only go to a minority, especially those who find favor with the ruling party. Mr. Speaker, the total budget estimates for 2005-2006 presented by the Honorable Prime Minister stands at $954,145,430, or in short, $954.1 million. This is big bucks as compared to the figure of 2004-2005. In fact, in the budget address, the Honorable Prime Minister alluded to a $1 million economy.
Billion dollar
economy. Billion. Indeed, there is a significant increase over last year's total budget estimates, which was $768,564,320. A total increase of $185,581,110. We must also note that significant increases were reflected or are reflected both in the recurrent and capital expenditure of 2005-2006 over 2004-2005. The amounts are under recurrent expenditure. The increase is $71,481,156. And under capital expenditure, the increase is $114,099,954. The question is, does government propose to raise the monies to meet these large increases? Taken from the estimates of 2005-2006, the following are proposed. Under recurrent revenue, the government hopes to accumulate $546,192,067. Under capital revenue, the government hopes to accumulate $1 million from the sale of assets. From grants, $76,773,177. Surplus from bonds, $72,288,174. And from loans, $257,892,012. And when you put these figures together, you get the total sum, the total budget estimate of $954,145,430.
Grant.
Huh?
Grant.
Yeah, I did say grant, yes. It is interesting to note, Mr. Speaker, the following. There is a shortfall of $72,288,174 in recurrent revenue to make up the total recurrent expenditure of $61,480,241. This shortfall amounts to $807,081 more than the increase of $71,481,156 proposed this year. Mr. Speaker, we must also remember that there were also shortfalls in the recurrent revenue for the years 2004-2005 and 2003-2004. In 2004-2005, the shortfall was $47 million, and in 2003-2004, the shortfall was $35.5 million. In 2004-2005, the revenue, recurrent revenue, was stated at $500.1 million. And then the proposed expenditure was $547 million. And if you subtract $501 million from 547, you'll get $47 million. Yes, that is reflected in this year's budget. But when in the estimates of 2004-2005, that was not reflected. I will come to this later. Two, that loans feature prominently in this year's budget. Loans totaled $257.9 million, which means that the national debt will be increased by this amount. As we were told that the national debt stands at approximately 1.43 million, billion, it means that our debt, national debt, will now rise to approximately 1.7 billion. Whereas recurrent expenditure has increased significantly over the years, capital expenditure has not surpassed the 3 million mark. For example, in 1995-1996, capital expenditure stood at 237.6 million. In 2003-2004, it stood at 348.8 million. In 2004-2005, it stood at 221.6 million. And in this year's budget, 205-206, it stands at 335.7 million. The irony of all this, Mr. Speaker, is that whereas in 1995-1996, government surplus to finance capital expenditure was 90.3 million. Today, this government has hardly any money to finance its recurrent expenditure and usually relies on bonds to do so. We must recognize that for the last three budget submissions, this government has been borrowing to meet its day-to-day operation. What does that mean to many St. Lucians, Mr. Speaker? It means that the public debt situation of St. Lucia is getting higher and higher and amounts to over 65% of our GDP. This figure has reached and has passed the danger zone of 60%. It also means that taxpayers are becoming overburdened with debt servicing and repayment each year. And I will show you as I go down the line. It also shows that very little was proposed to create a sizable dent on unemployment outside of the Castries Basin. It also meant that very little was said to give the people hope and comfort that the scourge of crime and violence would be controlled. Mr. Speaker, in this year's budget, the Prime Minister did not speak about unemployment, the rate of unemployment, nor did he say very much about crime. Our budget is a A breakdown, Mr. Speaker, of the 618.5 million recurrent expenditure indicates the following. that out of this amount, a large portion of it goes to wages and salaries, and that is 240.4 million. $38.9 million goes for retiring benefits, and you can see that's very high. And I think it was this amount became higher when early retirement was introduced by this government, which was later abandoned. $24.1 million went to the sinking fund. $19.3 million. For rental of property, $107.9 million went for debt servicing, that is paying interest and loan repayments. $17.8 million went for utilities, $35 million went to the NIC, $57.9 million went to grants and contributions, $10 million travel and subsistence, $20 million for reserve funds, which did not tell us what exactly it is being reserved for, $2.4 million for insurance, and $6 million for contingency. When we add this all up, we get a total of $558.7 million. $558.7 million of the $618.5 million is accounted here for. This figure shows that there is only $59.8 million left for government administrative and operational duties and obligations. And I would like to put that. Probably would include purchase of general supplies and materials, office supplies and equipment, training of personnel, hiring of equipment, HIP programs, salary increases, wage settlements, disaster preparedness, and all other amenities required to run the government. $59.8 million. Now remember, that is out of the $618.5 million. And the government only proposed to collect $546.1 million. If that figure is not realized, then you can see that the problem that the government may have in financing a number of its projects. Since only $59.8 million is left for all these other things, I believe that the government has actually boxed itself in by the way it has proposed to manage the finance of our country. As you can see, the amount of $59.8 million is hardly sufficient to cover adequately the areas mentioned above. Hence, I realize that there will be difficulty to find monies to do the necessary potholing on the various terrible roads in Miku South and in the other constituencies. As a consequence of this, government has had to constantly revise its approved estimates. In 2004-2005, Mr. Speaker, estimates were revised in a number of ministries. And I wish to highlight a few of them here. Because the increase or decrease appears to be significant because they all show in excess of $1 million. Ministry of Justice, for example, was revised from $7 million to $8 million, and in this year's budget, estimated at $9.1 million. The big one, Ministry of Finance, Financial Services and Economic Affairs, revised from $200.7 million to $189.6 million. That is a difference of about $11 million. But this year, in this budget, it is estimated to $256.5 million. Very big increase. Three, the Ministry of Social Transformation and Culture. Culture and Local Government revised from $14.1 million to $16.8 million. And this budget, it has been decreased to $13.9 million. Mr. Speaker, it should be noted here that the Ministry of Finance decreased through revision by $11.1 million in 2004-2005, an increase in 2005 to 2006 by $66.9 million, a very, very big increase indeed. And Mr. Speaker, I do not have the details for this increase, but I hope the Honorable Prime Minister will be able to tell us why such a big increase. In the case of the Ministry of Social Transformation, Culture and Local Government, there was a revised increase of $2.7 million in 2004-2005, but a decrease of $2.9 million in 2005-2006. One is left to wonder, Mr. Speaker, why such a big decrease in this particular ministry? I note, Mr. Speaker, that in this ministry, $1.8 million has been allocated for salaries, $4.4 million for wages, and $5.3 million for grants and contributions. I realize that this is the only ministry in government where wages surpass personal emoluments. It raises issues and bring to mind the STEP program under the management of the NCA, where it is said that much wages are being paid to persons who are employed in the STEP program. But Mr. Speaker, if the amount is decreased by $2.9 million, is this going to affect the STEP program? I don't know. I'm asking a question. I don't know. I'm asking a question because it has been decreased by $2.9 million. Mr. Speaker, I realize that no mention since the amount has been decreased by $2.9 million, it is left to conjecture. No mention, Mr. Speaker, was made as to how government proposed to deal with the alleged scandal of impropriety that has raised its ugly head at the NCA. Monies have been borrowed for the STEP program, and so there is a debt to be paid by the taxpayers of St. Lucia. It is understood that at that institution, there was no real control as to the management of funds for wages. Hardly or no accounting procedures. And no checks and balances to oversee expenditure. Though no one has been found culpable, someone or some persons should be held responsible and should be made to account. All the facts should be put in the open, Mr. Speaker. The minister who is responsible for this institution should take full responsibility to clear the air. And if that is not done, then I think she should agree to step down. If not, the Prime Minister must act on behalf of the taxpayer.
Or else he must be dying.
Mr. Speaker, the party I represent has always been supportive of job creation for St. Lucia. However, Mr. Speaker, we realize that if there are problems with a program where you pay wages to persons on a temporary basis, we believe that this program needs to be revised. And maybe it would be better to get the various persons engaged in skills training programs that would help equip them to create productive activities or to help them participate in self-earned activities so that they can make a living, a continuous living, rather than depending on that program for 1 or 2 months initially, have a break of about 3 months, and then start again. Mr. Speaker, it has been indicated that the GDP growth for 2004 was 3.6%. It was also shown that the impetus for causing that growth were mainly in the following areas of economic activity. And I named them, Mr. Speaker: expansion in hotels and restaurants at 5.9%, government services at 4%, wholesale and retail trade 7.8%, communications 4.6%, banking and insurance 4.7%, and construction 4%. In the economic review, it is said for 2004, it is said that 85% of total value added came mainly from these six areas of economic activity that I mentioned above. That as it may be, we contend that the GDP growth of 3.6% is significantly skewed towards a small percentage of the population and not to the benefit of the majority, which comprises the poor, disadvantaged, several school leavers, many persons involved in agriculture, and persons who live mainly in rural communities. Five out of the six economic activities, in my estimation, benefit mainly business houses, hoteliers, corporations, chosen ones, and persons who may be able to find jobs mainly in the towns and in the catchment basin. That just opened just a few days ago. The growth in construction rate in construction work, Mr. Speaker, as can be seen, is significantly low, 0.4%. This is because the ordinary people who are mainly the ones without houses cannot afford to build houses due to high increases on cement, steel, galvanized, and plywood. This is so, Mr. Speaker, despite the low housing scheme incentive initiated by government.
Which government?
By government. Mr. Speaker, commercial loans are out of the question for many of those persons because, one, it is difficult to source those loans, and secondly, many of those persons have problems to repay because they do not have a fixed job. And usually the banks usually ask you for a monthly income rather than making an income here, there, and there. A number of agricultural persons don't get credit in the banks of St. Lucia, I can tell you that. I know that personally. This growth in the above named economic activities reflects the type of growth that favor the minority. And because of this, Mr. Speaker, I realize that this budget in itself is disguised as a pyramid. In a pyramid, Mr. Speaker, the greater portion, which signifies the majority, falls within the base. The smaller portion, which signifies the minority, falls within the apex. Therefore, I conclude that the privileged few, only a privileged few, are found at the apex. A few others fall below that apex, and the poor, disadvantaged, and the marginalized fall at the base. Mr. Speaker, I want to turn my attention to agriculture because I'm from an agricultural based constituency. Although the agricultural sector contributed approximately 4.5 to GDP in 2004, the Honorable Prime Minister has admitted that this growth is significantly less than its contribution of 14% in 1990. This is a big decline, Mr. Speaker. And I wish to attribute this decline in growth to the scant regard and lack of commitment to the agricultural industry generally. The government says and proposes one thing in relation to agriculture and behaves indifferently towards the industry. Double standards, Mr. Speaker. I know for a fact over $100 million may have been injected into the industry over the past 8 years, especially in the banana industry. However, the plans put in place to achieve mass increased production and show real and tangible results fail to materialize all the time. I am heartened by the fact that the Prime Minister, in talking about tourism, says that it is not an emphasis on tourism or agriculture, but rather it is emphasis on both of them. And I would like to quote what he said. The reality is that the country requires both sectors, albeit in a symbiotic relationship, each sector contributing to the other's sustainability. And then he went further to say, we have over 500,000 tourists to feed, and the opportunities for agriculture is obvious. But Mr. Speaker, yet, our food import bill remains extremely high. If we could capture, really capture, these 500,000 mouths and feed them through our agricultural industry, I think our growth in that sector would more than double. As a result, I say, Mr. Speaker, lip service and injection of funds is not sufficient. That is not sufficient. We need to develop a plan program that will make the industry viable and sustainable and cause it to redound to the benefit of farmers. In this budget, $11.8 million was allocated solely to agricultural diversification, and that amount, I understand, was drawn largely from European Union Special Framework of Assistance funds. That's good. That's good. Funds have also been allotted for the banana industry and fishers and the fisheries. Other incentives were also proposed for cooperatives and pension for farmers and fishers, were also proposed. That's good. While these may all sound good, it's good, and it sounds good too. And I'm saying, while all these may sound good, the government has shown that it is not serious and consistent in its plans for agriculture to make a real impact side by side with tourism. Special reference must be made to the many Guyana farmers who have been marginalized from the industry for lack of capacity to continue. I am very much aware of that. The destruction to the banana industry because of frequent attacks by leaf spot and a lack of a coordinated program to control the disease. Every time when things are getting up, leaf spot creeping, destroying the industry, farmers have to start again. That is a big problem. We need to get that under control. The high and frequent increase in the cost of inputs. That is another problem. And I'll give you an example which I got before coming here, just one day before coming here. The fertilizer increased from $43 a bag, it went up to as much as $73 a bag. With further increases and a possibility, one farmer told me, that's a very big farmer. Yeah, I'm saying what a very big farmer. I think he's been the farmer of the year in my constituency. And he says that the price may go up as much as $100 if we are not careful. So that's a problem. Well, that is something we got to sit down and work together. That is a problem. That is a problem. Whilst the government appears to be promoting the industry, yes, it's obvious in fact. While the government appears to be promoting the industry, it is at the same time, whether consciously or unconsciously, trying to destroy and destabilize it. And I will give you some examples. The decision to destroy the Union Agricultural Station to build a football stadium is testimony of this. The farmers are being deprived of an established avenue for planting materials, plant propagation, and research. The almost complete abandonment of Bosseju Animal Husbandry Farm, an avenue for dairy farming and dairy products, animal propagation, and veterinarian research. All that is lost. We have
a
problem.
The honourable member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
Another 40 minutes. 45. Yeah, 45.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move for the suspension of order 32, sub order 8, to allow the member from Miku South to continue his presentation for another 45 minutes.
Honourable members, the question is that standing order 32-8 be suspended to allow the honourable member from Miku South an additional 45 minutes to make his contribution. I now put the question, as many are of that opinion say aye. As many are of a contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable member, leave is granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members of the House. Also, Mr. Speaker, the problem that the marketing board is facing now also affects our farmers, because the marketing board is the farmers' premier market for selling their ground provisions and fresh vegetables. I understand that this market has been operating at a loss for some time. It has been allowed to incur huge debts, and in the alleged sum of US$260,000. And as a consequence of this debt, we also learned that the creditors are taking the marketing board to court. I say all of this again, Mr. Speaker, to stress the lack of real commitment to any established agricultural venture in St. Lucia. It is talk, more talk, and money goes down the drain in the process. Mr. Speaker, whilst the Prime Minister, Honorable Prime Minister, took us to a regional and international economic growth journey, to show that the 3.6% GDP growth in 2004 is extremely good, he needs to tell the poor ordinary citizens of St. Lucia, where do they fit in that growth? How do they benefit? Mr. Speaker, there is little cash flow among these people. They always feel the strain because it is their pockets who are always empty. Some of them experience hardships, and these hardships are compounded by increases in prices. And as time goes on, you get increases in prices of commodities. And to give you a few, chicken backs have increased from 90 cents to $1. It ranged from $1 to $1.25. Chicken wings from $2.80 to $3.25. Fish has no control price. They sell fish at any price. If it is plentiful, you get it at a moderate price. If it is scarce, you get it at a very high price. And because of that, I know many persons in my constituency who have told me it is not affordable to buy fish because of the cost. They have many children. And there are a number of other items that have gone up. So we need to know how or what those persons can do to improve the quality of their lives. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister has indicated that there will be no new added taxes, but government will be monitoring the price of fuel closely to determine whether an increase is inevitable, and depending if the price go up and so on. Okay, I am sure bus drivers are relieved because of that, because already fuel is $8.50 a gallon. The government can also now boast of its success in the collection of taxes by Inland Revenue Department and Customs Excise. There was excess in each case, we were told by the Prime Minister, in 2004-2005. But Mr. Speaker, St. Lucians are already overburdened by paying more taxes on a larger variety of goods and services since 1997. One of the government's policies is to get needed funds from taxpayers. And I want to put a list here. of what are the, some of the taxes that are being paid by some people. And all that I'm naming here, there are some people who pay all of them. 100% increase in water rates with no better service, or in some cases, no service at all from Wasco. Not at all. That has not been done. Not at all. Increase in electricity rates. Environmental levies on tires and other products. Consumption tax on various commodities. Property tax. 100% increase on driver's license. Levy on motor and other insurance. Increased levy on mobile phones. Taxes on liquor and tobacco. House rental levy. The tax, if you rent your house, you pay government tax. Increase in departure tax. Service charge on loans. Pay as you earn. 13, and I'm sure there may be more. And sometimes some people have to pay, one person has to pay all of that. Mr. Walter, you can silence it. I want to move on quickly, Mr. Speaker, to crime, to security, crime and the police. Mr. Speaker, the Honorable Prime Minister has proposed an allocation of 1.9 million to upgrade the telecommunications network for the police force. This, he said, is expected to enhance the overall performance of the police force in dealing with crime. Mr. Speaker, this I consider insufficient in the fight against crime and violence that continue to plague our country. We require an immediate intervention to get crime under control. What about the forensic lab and the breathalyzers, which was promised in last year's budget? We need this to be implemented. Although these by themselves will not solve the issue of crime, but they will be of considerable help. The public of St. Lucia require that something be done now to combat and reduce crime and violence. I wish to propose that just as legislation was enacted against gun-related crime, legislation should also be enacted for cutlass-related crime, because if you realize, I don't know whether you realize, the cutlass has been used frequently in committing crime all over St. Lucia. All over. There is all over. The cutlass is too frequently carried on persons. A lot of young people carry the cutlass on them in their pants, on vehicles behind their seats, and use it to commit very, very serious crimes. We also need to make the necessary provision to tackle crime at the school, especially the secondary school level and the junior level, juvenile level. And as I say this, I wish that something would be done to upgrade the boys' training center. Mr. Speaker, I want to ask what progress has been made with the proposed YAP. Grants were to be provided to enable the youth to acquire skills for employment afterwards. It was proposed that 2,500 youth would be trained for employment through YAP in partnership with the private sector. How many persons have been selected for training? And how many have actually commenced? Mr. Speaker, a book rental scheme has been proposed for the students of from 1 to 3 of the secondary school level. And the sum of 1.7 million will be invested in the purchase of these books. I want to say here for the records that this book rentals scheme has been tried before at the secondary school level. Students were required to pay a deposit or to deposit a caution fee. They did not actually pay a rental fee, rather than paying a rental fee. If all the books were returned in good order, they were refunded that small fee. That has been done in St. Lucia before. This will no doubt provide much relief for needy and disadvantaged students. However, all the junior secondary schools that existed before had this system.
Yes.
However, I see a more pressing need to assist with transportation to enable students to be punctual, to be regular, and to remove them from the roads at all odd times. Mr. Minister, I live in a constituency where the children are always with me. I pick them up. Yes, but they are late. They come from Miko, they are late. I pick them up on the road 10 o'clock in the morning, 9:30 in the morning. They are always late. And sometimes you find them on the road at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. These children are exposed to dangers.
Honourable Member, please address the chair.
So, to prevent the children getting into problems, social problems, I think that would be a big help. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister spoke about getting electronic readable passports and ID cards, which I suppose would benefit persons within the OECS, and I suppose it would help with the coming of the CSME. But then, Mr. Speaker, I think that something ought to be done to educate our people a little more on the CSME. And I suggest one of the things that could be done is to probably start at the if not at the primary school level, at the secondary school level, especially to discuss with them the social and educational components. Because I know a lot of people are worried, are saying, and they have the wrong concept of people may come in and take their jobs. But if you start at the secondary school level, they in turn can relate this to the parents probably who are not as informed as they are. And in that way, I think they would get better idea of what it is all about. Mr. Speaker, proposals for the 2000 ICC Cricket World Cup have been very extensive and elaborate. It would require a very long time or a very long debate to go through all of it. No, I don't. However, I have a few comments and queries. The Prime Minister indicated that we have again, and I'm going to use his words, we have again mobilized scores of competent and experienced professionals to work with the local organizing committee to address the myriad issues that are critical to the hosting of the best cricket World Cup ever. May I ask whether the main opposition party was invited to send a delegation to participate in the planning? I don't know. If everyone is expected to be on board and to give support such participation cannot be considered to be incidental. I don't know that. The main opposition party must be involved to provide the necessary support and to ensure continuity. That is important. A total of $56 million will be budgeted over the next 2 years to meet St. Lucia's obligations for the 2000 ICC Cricket World Cup. I would like to know what amount is actually allocated for 2005-2006 to the 2007 ICC Cricket World Cup. How that money will be disbursed? What checks and balances will be put in place to ensure proper accounting, accountability, and transparency at all times? We hope that incentives for 2000 ICC Cricket World Cup will be spread across the board in an equitable manner, and that contracts awarded in doing the preparatory work will also be given in an equitable manner. Mr. Speaker, I know our constituencies like mine may not benefit very much from the incentives because of our location and distance as well, but I am hoping that a few people might take advantage of the offer. Mr. Speaker, I want to move on to my constituency very quickly. Mr. Speaker, I have no doubt right now to believe that program of works or projects for my constituency are deliberately held back. I have no reason not to believe this now. Yes, I have one nice road to Calypso. That's all. All the roads in my constituency, if you're talking about roads, all the roads in my constituency are in a terrible condition. As a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, I would like to correct something which was given to me yesterday from the Office of the Ministry of Communication Works, where it was said that potholing was done for that year on the Tiroshi Lakuville Road. That is not so at all. No potholing was ever done on that road. A little potholing was done on the Diga to Lakuville Road, never to the Tiroshi Road. But we have the Tiroshi Road, Tiroshi Lakuville Road, that is the chairman said. We have the Fort Law Road, we have the Diga Lakuville Road, we have the Sheikh Monva Road, we have the upper part of the Calypso to Tiroshi Road, we have the Fobuape Road, and so on. These roads, the only way that the people can survive is because, Mr. Speaker, between December and now, we have gotten 100 cubic yards of quarry waste and scalping and give to the people to block the roads. In fact, the bus drivers themselves have come out and helped because they complained that their vehicles are being damaged. So one afternoon, they said, if we can get some materials, we would do it. And I was able to get some materials on my own, and they helped. That is the only way that they survive. But this does not last long. Well, as a matter of fact, I am telling you, I have gotten 100 cubic yards of it. They helped as well, but I have gotten 100 cubic yards. Not in 100. That's my own contribution, 100 cubic yards. He gave some. But I'm telling you, what he gave was very minimal. Mr. Speaker, my big concern right now is the demolished water tank. The demolished water tank in my constituency. This water tank, Mr. Minister, has been demolished for 3 years. Mr. Speaker, I think our patients are running thin in that constituency. And what is ironical about this, with the dry season, WASCO now decides that it is going to disconnect. How could this WASCO decide to disconnect when you are not providing a service? There's a contract, I pay you, you provide me for service. WASCO says the minimum, if you use water, the minimum you're going to pay is 1470. You give me no water, you always give me a bill. How can this last? I think something must be done, or we may take actions that may not look very good. Because for three years we have been waiting. Mr. Speaker, who are the ones suffering? The handicapped, the elderly persons who are in their home, how do they get water? Do we return them to the ravines and the rivers Bilhazia at one time was a big problem. And Rockefeller had to put up an office in that area to fight Bilhazia. That's what we want. Now, if we don't get the water, we may have other problems. I think something needs to be done, and I want to say it again today that I hope I will not come here and ask that this water tank be set up. Okay, I spoke about the roads. Mr. Speaker, I have spoken before about the Boucher Plain Field. The Boucher Plain Field, I've spoken about this before. It is the playing field that serves both Duga and Tiroche. And as you know, the Sami has no playing field in the area. That's the only playing field. I ask, because it is very close to the road, something ought to be done. Yes, I know. Something ought to be done, at least to prevent damage to persons and vehicles who cross the road when people play football or cricket. And I think they need some facilities like bringing a little water, because they're a little away from the residential area. A little water and a little place for changing and toilets. That is very important. At one time I remember having discussion with the agricultural ministry regarding the center at Angers. That center is lying there with not much use. At one time, I remember our farmers used to use it for cooperative works. I think we need to look at this, our center again, so that the farmers can utilize it as a depot, if possible, for their produce. And when they do that, they can also set up a little cooperative where they can sell maybe products like fertilizer and so on to the other farmers. Mr. Speaker, I heard the Excellency, the Governor General, spoke about the rationalization of land settlement and so on. And I know since the former representative of Miku South was there, there has been a problem in the Azure area regarding land rationalization and settlement. And I think something needs to be done to alleviate the problems, because the longer we leave it, the more complicated it is going to be. And I would ask that something be done to try and rationalize the land so that the people would gain title for their land and things would work out in a better manner. Mr. Speaker, I have said this before and I want to say it here again. I know we have made a representation to agencies like Poverty Reduction Fund and Basic Needs Trust Fund. And I must say that these two institutions are not very visible in the Miku South constituency. And I do not know why. We have not asked for very much. We have asked for very little. But it seems like nobody turns to us. It looks like our people are saying it's because we voted UWP, and I don't think that's right. That's not right. I've been trying my best to do. In fact, I did work on our playing field, like drainage and so on. When I realized that nothing was coming from the government, I was able to get the funds to do the drainage. Huh? I refurbished the community center at Lacouville and so on, because we realize nothing is being done, so we try to do something at least to keep the people, you know, going. I always try, but at the same time, I think there is a duty from the government side to do a little bit, so we can think government did a little bit as well. Okay, our public facilities, our multi-purpose centers and community centers, these are neglected. I remember we had no community officer for over a year in this constituency. Thank God somebody came in just about a month ago. I have had discussions with him, and I'm hoping that some facelift I wrote to the ministry, especially in the Diga area. These centers have been neglected for a long time, and I think something need to be done to assist. Mr. Speaker, most of our young people in the community are crying out for employment. As you know, the banana industry was what used to absorb them. Their parents were in the banana industry, they were making money, so they survived very well. But right now, with the decline, well, a lot of them had cut down the coconut trees, and right now there is probably a kind of disease affecting the coconut trees, so they don't get much coconut. So what they're asking for jobs, I know Coconut Bay is now open, but that only can absorb so many. Well, our people are always willing to work, and that's good if they can get most of the jobs. Most of them do not want to be caught up in crime and violence. They do not want to be either, and they are hoping that something will happen to get them gainfully employed so that they can make a living. And that is why I ask questions like, if the YAP program exists, then maybe some of them can do some training. I must, at this point, say thanks to the Ministry of Education. I did ask for assistance with the NELP program, and that was given in the Anja area. And just about 2 weeks ago, we had about 60 of the young people graduating, and we are hoping that that will continue to sort of help them gain some skills so that they would not remain either and get themselves involved in crime. Mr. Speaker, I want to thank you, and this is my contribution.